probably that's probably one of my favorite songs. I surrender all. To me, that's the message song, you know, because that's what we're doing on a daily basis. Lord, just help me surrender. Help me to help me. David said that one time. Lord, I surrender. Help me surrender. You know, Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Help me believe. You know, and that's our desire. I just want to say I love every one of you. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord and expecting the Lord just to come and do a great thing. Amen. I want to speak to you tonight on welcome His reign. Welcome His reign. Now, we're not necessarily talking about the R-A-I-N, but we'll welcome that too, you know, but the other kind of reign, R-E-I-G-N. So we'll welcome both reigns tonight. Amen. Amen. Let's go to St. John chapter 13, verses 2 through 16. And may seem like an awkward text, but, you know, the Lord kept bringing me back to it over and over. I actually deleted it at one point. I felt like I kicked a child or something. I'm sorry. Put it back on there. Well, just, you know, when you're trying to just find the mind of the Lord or just, you know, just waiting on the Lord, sometimes it's a struggle with this guy right here because, you know, you doubt yourself. And then there's so many times I would second guess myself. And today they surrender. I surrender all. Amen. So St. John chapter 13, verses 12 through 16. It says, so after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments, he was set down again. He said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. And let's go to Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. We desire your presence tonight. And I thank you for you already being in the worship service, Lord, and everyone is pouring their hearts out, Lord, just the spirit in this building. Father, I'm so thankful for it, Lord. And I just pray that it would be there for they that are streaming, Lord, that your presence would be among them as well, Father. Lord, help us to surrender our minds to you, Lord, and to receive the message that you're trying to say through this piece of clay, Lord. We love you. We desire you. Bless you. You can be seated. You know, Jesus took on the form of a servant. He literally put the towel around him. He literally got down on his knees and he washed their feet. You know, that's one of the most humble things a person can do in this life. You know, then they would have sandals. They would walk through stuff and their feet would be extra dirty even more than they are now. You know, but if there was ever a person that that could have boasted and walked around with his chest out and literally not fear anything, it would have been Jesus. If there was anybody that could have done it, but he didn't do that. He was humble. And, you know, man has a tendency to get puffed up in himself, especially when God uses him for something, or he does really good at something. Man, I'm getting, you can be cutting trim and like, man, I'm getting pretty good at that. And next thing you mess up on. It's whenever we get puffed up, you know, it's just human. But, you know, to wash someone's feet is to serve that person in the utmost respect. And typically, we want to do the washing when it comes to foot washing. Is that right? I want to wash your feet, but I hate for you to wash my feet. Not because I think I'm something special, it's because I got stinky feet. You know, and that's just the way we are as people. And if we'd all be honest with ourselves, I think we'd find out that's true. You know, you don't want somebody to wash your feet, but you want to wash their feet, you know. And we wouldn't feel bad about cleaning someone else's house or washing their car. Because, you know, you're understanding. Hey, you live, you got kids, you got this stuff like that. So you wouldn't feel bad about them washing your car or cleaning their house, but how do you feel about someone coming cleaning your car?
Right.
You feel okay cleaning someone else's car. I may have said that backwards. You feel okay cleaning someone else's car or someone else's house because you're understanding, but you don't want them coming cleaning your car. You don't want them cleaning your house because, you know, you're like, oh, I don't want you having to do that. You don't want to discomfort them. You don't want to inconvenience them. But that's just who we are as people. And, you know, we would be understanding in that way. Well, it's just as important to receive from somebody as it is to give to somebody. You know, it's so important. It's good to give. It's good to serve others. But it's so important that we allow them to serve us. Because
right.
You know what? That's how God reigns, is working through people. God works through man. And a lot of times, you know, your little things that you can do for somebody, God's inspiring you. That is actually God working through you. And if so, you can actually hinder somebody when someone tries to give you a word of encouragement from the Lord. Don't allow the devil to ever get our mind puffed up to a place of thinking, you're going to encourage me? You're going to show me? What are you talking about? We need to take a step back because we need encouragement.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
And you know, have you ever felt that time whenever whenever you witness to somebody, you give a testimony or share something, and you left and you felt good. You know, you went home and like, you know what, I talked to somebody at the grocery store, I got to share my testimony. It felt so good. You know, other people feel that same way. You know, that's why that special feeling that you felt whenever you done that other person can feel that. So when someone begins to share a testimony with you, tell something about what God's doing in their life, stop what you're doing and turn to them and give them your full attention. You know, say, you know what? That's awesome. That's awesome. Because you know what? That person is stepping out of their comfort zone to talk about something that God is doing in their life. The something that they saw God do. So I just felt really impressed in my heart to really just bring that out tonight. Is allow others to serve you. Allow others to share their testimony. Allow others to talk about how their fire got lit. You know, man, we like to give, but we don't like to receive, you know, too much. In those senses. And sometimes man gets so puffed up that he doesn't think that his fellow man has something to offer. And I'm just going to make myself comfortable, okay? We're all family here tonight, right? So sometimes as people, we can get to a place where we don't feel like the person has something to offer. And my dad, I miss him so much. I miss him a lot this time of the year. It's every year. I have to fight a depression almost this time of the year. And I just have to bring myself back to the Word. I'm going to see him again. But my dad used to tell me about doing stuff that I don't know how to do. And I remember Dad would be talking to me about certain things. And I would allow myself at times to get so puffed up. Like, Dad, why are you telling me this? I know how to do this. I do this for a living. You don't know how many times I would love to go back and listen to Dad tell me that. Yeah. Dad, I want to be a complete dum-dum. And you tell me exactly how to do it. I don't care. Because it's a valued time. Because you know what? Dad, during those times, that he was feeding his spirit, so to speak, of being able to explain his own stories and talk about the things that meant a lot to him. That was Dad releasing something of who he was into me, and whenever I could receive that, I was drawing it from that. So it was a real fellowship that I had with my dad. Well, it's that same way that we can have with our brothers and sisters, people that we meet, whenever we talk about this Lord, or this gospel, this word that we love so much. Whenever someone begins to give us that opportunity to tell us their stories, listen to what their stories are. Amen. I would encourage you, you're going to see family in the next coming weeks. Take those times. Listen to what my brother Daniel's saying. During those times, slow down and listen to the stories. Amen. Listen to what they got to say. Laugh at their, not their dumb jokes, you know what I'm talking about. But you know what I'm saying? Be a Christian. Amen? Amen. So praise the Lord. We must become small so that God can use our fellow man, you know, to allow them. I just want to read a quote here. He says, for instance, could not believe that God was in that man. That was the biggest obstacle that they had to climb over, was how big him being man, yet being himself God. They could not see how God could dwell in human flesh. And in all ages, in all times, God has always dwelt in man. Man is God's agent. In every generation, God speaks to his people through human lips. He always chooses someone or something that he can use. You know, so many times people have missed God over the ages. They still do it today because he does not come in the way they expect him to come. And you know, and we can look at that as major events, but it's also, I believe that's in small events in our life whenever you need an answer about how a decision that I've got to make. And life's about decisions. And there's so many times it's like, God, I need a decision. But you know what? It's the same way. We miss it because God's given you the answer over and over, but it's not coming in the way that you expect it to come. And a lot of times it's the postman. Sometimes it could be the guy at the grocery store. Sometimes it could be someone at the restaurant. That could be the one that God can use to give me the voice that God would use. That person could be God's agent.
Right.
Sometimes it's not necessarily the prophet. Sometimes it's not necessarily the pastor. Sometimes it's not necessarily your mom and your dad. Sometimes it's the old man sitting on the park bench. And you can talk to him, and that man can give you something that's directly from God, that's just as anointed as anything else, because it's God using that vessel at that time.
Yeah.
I just want to give you a little story real quick, and we'll get right back to this. I remember one time, I was really stressed out, and I was just selling cars. I mean, things were just pumping, and that could be good, and then sometimes it can be overwhelming, because you're just like trying to keep it all together, and I was like, oh my gosh, it's this like, how do I do this? Keep it together, because you know, you got to keep everyone happy. And it wasn't anything bad. I was just so busy. And there was this old cowboy. And this cowboy was in his late 70s. And he was sitting there and had his little spurs on his boots and everything, sitting on the chair. And I sat down for just a second. And I'll never forget him. He just, old country. I mean, he was a cowboy. He looked. You see cowboys like that ain't no cowboy. You ain't never rode a horse in your life, and it shows. You know, this guy was a cowboy. Okay, I remember I was sitting down beside this guy, and he turned over and looked at me, and he said, "Son, do you mind if I tell you something?" I said, "No, please." And I was stressed. I was thinking about all the stuff I need to do. He said, "I used to be just like what you're doing, just worry myself to death about everything." He said, "But I'm going to give you some advice." He said, "Someone gave it to me years ago." He said, "You need to find something that you can do." He said, "I don't care if it's hunting. I don't care if it's fishing. You find something that you can do." He said, "This is the reason I'm telling you this." He said, "Because if you're fishing," and everyone knows I like to fish. He said, "When you're fishing, you got that bobber out of that water." He said, "The only thing you're thinking about is that bobber." He said, "And you're watching it move." And he said, when you will allow yourself to settle down and think about that, he said, "You will come to yourself." He said, "You'll find out that real quick that a lot of stuff you've been fretting and worrying and all this stuff," he said, "it means absolutely nothing." He said, "Diddly." What did he say? I don't think that's a bad word. Means diddly. He said, "You know what?" He said, "But you need to find something that you can get along that slows everything down and just come back to who you are." And that's what I want to say to you tonight is slow down. Allow yourself to slow down. I don't care if you go fishing. If you want to go fishing, please let me see if I can go with you, because I'm not going to go. Find something in yourself that you can slow down and stop worrying about everything else and focus on what really matters, because you've got an opportunity of ministry on a daily basis, but especially in the coming days. And the Lord keeps giving me back to that. In the coming days, I want to encourage you and charge you that you will go prepared to be a witness. Amen. Not being something puffed up, but just being used by the Lord. There's something that's fulfilling after encouraging someone, and we want to welcome God's reign. And most of the time when God's deliverance has come, it comes in a very unexpected way. And I just want to give one example here real quick about the walls of Jericho. If you go on, let's go to Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. It says, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And you have compassed the city, all ye men of war, and go around about the city once. Thus thou shalt do 6 days. The seventh priest shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram horns. And 7 day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow with the trumpets. It shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when ye hear the trumpet, the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let the 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, Pass on, compass the city, and let them that in arms pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord, and blew them the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew the trumpets, and rewarded came the ark, and the priests came going on and blowing with trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, You shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day that I bid you to shout, and then you shall." Now, I know it's a long little text, but I want you to try to draw a picture for you. This was literally a wall that they needed to fall down. They needed this wall to fall down in their life. How many times you get walls in front of you? Lord, I need you to move this wall. Mm-hmm. That's right. You've got a mountain in front of you. God, I need you to move this mountain. How am I going to move this mountain? You know, he didn't say, I want you to take a jackhammer over there and I want you to beat the wall in this, or I'm going to get this strong man that's going to come and you're going to do this. It comes so ridiculous. It comes so different. It comes so different than what the mind of the people would ever think it would be. I mean, which one of you, out of all honesty, which one of you would think, if I was to say, what's a good idea of how to get this wall to fall down? How many of you would say, you know what? Let's circle around the city. Let's blow a trumpet and let's shout. There ain't nobody. It would not even enter your mental faculties of how to do that. So this man, Joshua, received the word from the Lord. This is what I want you to do. Think of it. First of all, the man is a minister, and I've got this obstacle in front of my people. My people have got a problem. I need my people to have an answer how to move this problem. God, how are we going to do this? What do I do? This man is waiting on an answer for God, and God gives him an answer. He says, this is what I want you to do, Joshua. I want you to tell the people, circle the city. I want you to blow up the trumpets, and I want you to shout. How quickly would it be for Joshua to say, okay, that definitely wasn't the Lord. We're going to go again. Lord, well, how do I move this mountain? Would you feel that way?
Right.
You got a mountain. You need this wall to fall down. And God tells you, this is how I want you to do it. The first thing I think that's really awesome is Joshua listened to what he said.
Right.
Joshua didn't say, but this don't make sense. How would this work? If I take A plus B, it don't work. If I take 2 plus 2, it don't work. Joshua didn't care. God said, do it.
Yeah.
And he did it. And because Joshua took that word exactly the way God told him to do it, he said, this is what we're going to do. And you know what the next miracle is? The people. First, the preacher's got to hear the word. And it doesn't sound like it makes any sense, but he overcome. That's the first part of overcoming. And then he had to give the word to the people. And then the people had to do something. Guess what they had to do? They had to listen to what he said. I got this problem. Oh, God, how can I move this mountain, this wall, this huge wall? God, how are you going to do it? Speak to my preacher, Lord. Speak to my preacher that he will show me how do I overcome. Oh, Brother Tony, show me how do I overcome.
Yeah.
We're going to walk around the wall. And we're going to blow the trumpet. And we're going to shout. Brother Tony, go before the Lord again, buddy. I don't think you heard him right. I don't think you heard what I'm saying. I got a problem, and I need this problem addressed, and you're telling me walk around a wall. You know the thing is, he can only say what God tells him to say.
Right.
Joshua could have told all kinds of things that sounded awesome. He could have preached a sermon that would just make you want to kick and just move your elbows and do all kinds of stuff. He could have preached a pep talk, but it wouldn't work.
Right.
You know why? He had to only say what God told him to say. And the people had to listen to what God said through God's appointed, God's messenger, God's word, get to those people. And because they listened to what that word said. And it wasn't just listening to the word. If you look into the scriptures, it says, read that, pull up last scripture there, Kevin. Chapter, verse 10. Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then you shall shout. So he gave them a word to do. What if they just went around the city one time? That's enough. What if we go twice? That's enough. But what did he say? He said, you do it exactly this many times. And then he says, there's a specific time that you're going to shout. If you did it before, it probably ain't going to work. But when you will do it exactly when the Spirit moves on Joshua, and Joshua speaks to you, it will work. And let me ask you, did it work? The walls come coming down. Sometimes you got a wall, you got a mountain, and I need this mountain moved, God. And this is something I feel the Lord really just trying to plow me into and narrow down. Sometimes we as people, we need mountains moved. Sometimes I need an answer. I need God to do something for me. But you know what? God's got a provided way where God will still speak through our fivefold ministry, that God will give you a word, and when you receive that word, like it's coming from God, God will move that mountain. But you've got to do it according, because it's not the man, it's not Joshua, it's God that spoke through Joshua. God gave him the word, and those people had to receive it that way. And because they did, they got the power, because there was a connection. Just like there is a electric current coming through. The electric come from God. It went through Joshua. Joshua to the people. The people did what he said, and then went right back to God. It's been a perfect circle, a perfect loop. You know, that's exactly how it is, brother, sister, is you got to obey what the Spirit tells you to say. Because that's what it is. That's the Holy Ghost.
It's the Holy Ghost that spoke to Joshua. And brother, sister, it's the Holy Ghost that speaks to the prophet. It's the Holy Ghost that speaks to a fivefold ministry. Listen to me, it's the Holy Ghost that speaks through you. And what we want to say, we want to welcome God's reign. To welcome God's reign is when God speaks, listen to what he said, and be humble enough that you'll be as though you were on your knees washing their feet. Amen. In that kind of humility. Amen.
Right.
Sometimes I feel a lot like Joshua. When I'm before the Lord, I'm, Lord, I need something to speak. And he says, this is what I want you to speak. I'm like, Lord, I don't think you heard me. Let me say this again. Joshua felt the same way. Amen, I'm sure. Think how ridiculous he must have looked. God never said, I want another thing, God never said put the strong men first and the good singers up first and the piano players, the guitar players, the instrument players. He didn't say put them first and them first and them first. He never said anything about that. You know what he said? He said, you just start marching.
Right.
So you might have a small voice. You might have a deep voice. You might be short. You might be tall. You might be whatever. It has nothing to do with it. Because you know what? Your voice is just as powerful as everybody else's. I'm here to tell you, when you are working according to God's word, according to what his spirit is saying, and you shout, your shout might be, ah! It might be, ugh. That sounded like Brother Tony, didn't it? My kids, my family, we got a joke around our house. We're just going to confess. Confession is good for the blood. When we're talking about Brother Tony, we'll say, that's a Brother Tony laugh. Because brother, you got the Tony laugh, like, ha, ha. Man, I got that, ha, ha, ha. You know what I'm talking about. That's not like funny. We like it. We love you, brother. He's like, what are you talking about? I don't do that. You know, confession's good. I almost said it, brother. But you know what? Your shout, your ha, 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 it's just as powerful as everybody else's. Because you know why? God specializes in you. God specializes where the power of God is moving through you. You know what? Their names aren't written in the Bible. You don't hear their name that I know of, but you know what? They were there. And they shouted. They did their part. And that's all God wants of you. God wants you to do your part.
Amen.
You may be a singer. You may be a shouter. You may never do anything but just pray. You know what? You keep doing that because you are a shout.
Amen.
And you are causing walls to fall down for somebody else. Somebody else is going, God, I need this wall to fall down. God, I need this deliverance. God, I need this. And you may not even feel like it, but you're in church. You're doing your position. You're serving the God the best you can. And when you're doing that, you don't even realize it, but you're saying, ah. You're shouting. Amen. So let your shouts ring.
Amen.
Because when you're doing that, you're welcoming God's reign in the church and in that person's life. Amen. I want to see it. Now I want to hear Brother Tony laugh, man. Worth getting laughed. Like, every time you do it, Brother Tony, everyone's going to start laughing. They're like, yep, there it is. How many love Brother Tony?
Amen.
Amen. I love Brother Tony too. So God never asked for the eloquent ones. And, you know, God gave the message of how to tear down the wall, and they received it exactly the way he said do it, and it worked. And when they obeyed the message, God got the glory for it. Amen. Another, just a quick story. We won't go through the scriptures because of time, but is Rahab. You know, Rahab was bound in sin, and she needed deliverance. And, you know, she was bound. Her family was bound during all this time. And, you know, the men come to Rahab and told her, hey, this is what we're going to do. And her respect to those men when she did that, she didn't even realize what she was doing. But her respect to those men when they come, it brought deliverance. And it brought the reign of God upon her life and those people's lives. It was her respect. See, she, I don't believe that she had a something in the mail that said, hey, Rahab, this day these men are going to come to your city and this is what you got to do. It wasn't. It was an impulse thing that happened to Rahab. Rahab needed deliverance. Her family needed deliverance. These men come, and there was something inside her that gave respect to it. And because she gave respect to them, she gave respect to that visitation, God honored that and delivered her whole family for it. Listen, brothers, God will deliver your whole family. And sometimes you'll think, oh, it'll be this great minister that'll come, and he'll come and preach this dynamic message, and then all my kids will get saved. Sometimes he won't be nothing like that. Sometimes he won't even have nothing to do with the preacher. Sometimes God can do however he wants to. All we got to do is every moment that we get a visitation of the Holy Spirit, humble ourselves to the point of we're washing the feet, so to speak, of saying, Lord, I want your presence. I desire your presence. I desire your presence in my brother's life, my sister's life, the person at the post office, the gas station. Lord, I want to honor your presence. Because you know what? We are focusing on Him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Rahab got deliverance. There was no preparation given to her. It was an impulse thing. And we're coming to a close. I'm just going to say one more quote here. He says, man, usually when he's born in the kingdom of God, his face set right straight towards Calvary. Now, if he's just a little bit emotional, he will go off on fanaticism. If he's just a little bit shrewd education, he'll get so starchy that he sets over on this side. That's right. But the true church of the living God goes right down the center of the highway, preaching the same solid gospel. And that's S-A-N-E, the same solid gospel. Calling from both sides, amen. That's what we need today. A church that he wouldn't be ashamed for anyone to come into. It's perfectly governed by the Holy Spirit. No fanaticism, no starchy, just a good, warm church filled with God's Spirit. Watch that. The good, solid gospel teaching pastors. That's what we need, amen. God help us to have it. God wants us to have it. Amen, I believe that. That's from the seal of the Antichrist in 55. Let us receive the word in the spirit of humility. And we're going to bring one more quote here. Some time ago, John Sproul, a friend of mine, was at La Salle, Lorraine, France. And they was taking him out through a garden, and he and his wife was showing them the statues and so forth, and there was a statue of Christ. John stood and looked at it, and he said, Brother Brown, I looked, and it just didn't look right. I didn't see why they put a statue like that as a shrine to Christ. He said there was no suffering, no pity, just an old piece of rock looked like hanging there, hewn out on the cross, and said, the God said to me, come, sir, said, you're perhaps criticizing the statue. He said, yes, I am. He said, you're just not looking at it right. He said, you see, there's an altar down below it. He said, now you go kneel down at that altar, and then you look up, and then come back and tell me what you think. So he went down and he knelt, and he said at the altar, raised his head up and said his heart almost failed. There was the suffering. There was the acne of Christ. The sculptor had cut out into the face of cruel suffering that he did it, and it made a difference. It turned the critic into tears. I'm going to say that's what we want to approach this gospel that we have, is don't allow ourselves to be at an angle to where we're looking at it. We're not looking at it at the right angle, but whenever we will look at it at the right angle, where you're in humility and you're looking up.
Amen.
You're seeing it at the right approach. And because you're looking at it at the right approach, you'll get the right results.
Amen.
And it goes back to humble ourselves. Amen.
Amen.
And one last scripture and we'll be done. Okay? Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel.
Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand. That's my desire. Is I want it to be, brother and sister, that my life will be as it becometh the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That somebody can watch me and start writing as I'm walking and say, this is the gospel. That's the life you want to live. Amen. And it says, let your conversation. And so it's your conversation, not just how you talk, it's how you act, it's your demeanor, how you conduct yourself, how you do business. A lot of times when someone cuts you off in traffic and when they don't give you the right food.
Right.
Amen. It's when things are, because you know what? It's real easy to praise God when the steak is perfect. Right? You cut into like, oh, that's good. But when you pay top dollar and you open it up, like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
You go to a doctor, I got a sausage biscuit the other day and I'm just going to put it out there. I like Brahms. I got a sausage biscuit, $1.23. For a Brahms sausage biscuit. I like them. I got that sausage biscuit and I get back and I sit at my desk and I open that thing up and it almost looked like someone did it on purpose. I'll laugh at it. My sausage biscuit was about like that and it was like a slice of pizza missing out of it. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. And I, when the Lord reminded me, right? And I was like, this is an opportunity that I could have been angry, but because my mindset was right. I just laughed about it. I was like, that's hilarious. And I started trying to look at that. Like, where'd you get that at? I'm not blessing Brahms, but you know. I still like Brahms. But let's just bow our heads. Amen. Father, we love you. We want to thank you for this opportunity to be here tonight. And I just pray that something was said, Lord, that would just give them a word of encouragement in the coming days, Lord, that whenever we see, not waiting to the holidays, but starting today, right now, Lord, but each day that we will look for opportunities to serve your people, Lord. And Lord, whenever they try to serve us or give us their story, that we would slow down and listen to their stories, Lord. Lord, because we know that many times that can be you speaking through that person, and it's their opportunity to serve the body. God, I ask you that you would help us, that you would put a divine love that would just continue to burn in our hearts, Lord, that we would serve one another and love, Lord, in all that we do. We just welcome you to our lives. In Jesus' name. Go ahead and let Brother Tony tell. And I got you 3 minutes early.
Joint supply it.
Amen.
Right? Ephesians, when he talks about how that God put in the church apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers for the perfecting of the saints until we could come and grow up into the full measure of Christ. And in there it speaks about how that in the body of Christ, every joint supply it. And every time I read that, I think about it, that there's things that I need that you'll supply, and there's things you need that I'll supply, and each one of us. And when you really think about that, this little accident I had with my thumb the other day, when you got stuff missing and you wonder how it's going to come back,
yeah,
and yet it does.
Right.
And I've just been thinking about that over and over and over. Healing is in the body.
That's right.
And so let me just say this, that in you know, we're a part of the body of Christ total, but in this body, that if there's someone in this body that's sick spiritually, whatever, if there's a need in this body, if everyone is doing their part, that healing will take place.
Yeah.
Right? And it's a ministry's job to feed you.
Right.
Your body's got to have nutrients, right?
Yeah.
But the body knows what to do with those nutrients when you give it to them.
Amen.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
And that's, if it can be that way in the natural, it's definitely that way in the spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's so many people that I've heard, we've watched, my wife and I have watched some hiking videos where people go hike these long trails, you know, because, you know, who knows, maybe if we ever get a chance to retire, we might do a little bit of that. But in all that, there's so many people that say they went and did that to find themselves.
Yeah.
They got away from all the stuff, all the, and so my whole point in saying that is what caused them to be in the condition they were in the first place. And they had to get away from all that to get out and find who they really were, you know. And so I know that Satan's got cheap imitations of things like that, but it's true. You know, get along with God, right?
Yes.
And you'll see things happen. And so I'm glad that you can laugh in your homes about Brother Tony. I didn't know that I was so... amusing or whatever, but that's okay. That's all right. Because I am who I am.
Amen.
I don't try to be anybody different. And you know, I appreciate that everybody, you know, everybody wants to be accepted.
Yes.
And you want to be accepted just for what you are. Because I know that God has something in me that's good for you. And I know that he's got something in you that's good for me.
Amen.
And we just love that everything knit together. And, you know, and so in this church, we have people that are quiet, maybe never hear them say amen.
Yeah.
We have other people that do. And I really appreciate the fact that we have a congregation of people that can come together and we can have that diversity, and everybody feed on the word and enjoy the ministry. I'm not so dynamic like Brother Daniel is, but you see what God has done. We have, to me, it's a great thing.
Yeah.
And so I really appreciate the thing that Brother Daniel shared with me.
Amen.
You know, laughing, I've said this before, laughing's not voluntary. When something strikes you, you can't hold it back.
That's
it
right.
just comes out.
Yeah.
So it's not voluntary. It just happens. And when it does, there's no mask to it. It's what you are.
That's right.
You know, crying's the same way.
Yeah.
When something, you can't, you got to just bellow out. And same way with laughing, because it's meant to be shared.
Right.
Right? It's meant, remember the scripture says, like when somebody's hurting, we all hurt. Somebody's sad, you know, because, and so that's what it is. It's meant to be shared so that you can enter into the need, enter into the joy of your brothers and sisters, and also enter into their trials and their troubles.
Yeah.
We're to walk this road together. Amen. And sometimes I think we forget that. And but if everybody, if every member of the body of Christ, and this, especially in here, this assembly I'm speaking of, is doing walking with the Lord, you'll be helping this body. Amen. And we'll get to come out on the other side just all together rejoicing. And so I'm just going down things that I wrote down because Brother Daniel there. When I gave my heart to the Lord, I wasn't in church. It wasn't a sermon. I didn't listen to a sermon. I just was out one day. The Lord had been dealing with me, and I just said, you know what? I'm done. I will be in church Sunday morning, and I've been in church ever since.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't, you know, it's just a sane decision based on the Word of God.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
Amen. And so really appreciate that. And I just say, before we sing a song, look at what God is doing in our midst through the eyes of humility.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do that, you'll really see what it is.
Yeah.
Amen. I have expectations, but I know we're all going through trials. But listen, there is victory.
Yeah.
And we're all going to enjoy this together.
Yeah.
Amen. So may the Lord bless each one of you. Let's go to Psalm 76. We'll just sing this for a moment.